Special welcome to everybody this evening on our second Lenten service for the Holy Season. For those who may have forgotten or don't know, we are doing a pastor rotation for the Lenten season, so that's why Pastor Micah is not up here tonight. So later on we'll be hearing from Pastor Burnson from New Hope in Jamestown, is that correct? Yes, so we look forward to hearing from him later this evening. I don't have much for announcements other than just regular Sunday or scheduled activities on Sunday morning, and then I believe we'll be hearing from Pastor Regan next Wednesday evening. So would you please join me in prayer as we open this evening? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and now this time that we have together to come and worship, Lord, to hear your word preached. Lord, we pray for Pastor Burnson as he shares with us, Lord, that you would bless his words, Lord, that you would speak through him the words that you wish for us to hear tonight. We pray for Pastor Micah as he travels this evening and as he preaches that you would be with him as well. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the service now. In your name, amen. We'll open this evening with hymn number 71, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. This time, I'd like to call on Mark Olson to share our scripture with us this evening.
Tonight we'll be reading from Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 10. Could you please rise for the reading of God's word? Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed and stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Then we'll turn to Luke 22, verses 24 through 34. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? It is not the one who reclines at the table. But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me."
Thank you, Mark. Responsive reading this evening. If you would remain standing, we'll read from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. And that can be found on page 158 in your hymnal. If you would just read the words in bold. Reading from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." "But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men." "Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name."
"That the name of Jesus
and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This time we'll call the usher. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a confession of faith this evening. If you would please read along with me with the words printed in your bulletin. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, bought me and freed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent sufferings and death, in order that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. At this time, we'll call the ushers forward to wait on us for our evening offering. Dear Lord, we thank you this evening for these gifts, Lord, and these tithes that have been given. Lord, we pray that you would bless them for your work and for your use. And we thank you and bless those that gave. In your name, amen. Before Pastor Burnson shares with us this evening, Pam and Emma Tweet will give us special music.
Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Alleluia, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless, we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Alleluia, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished, was his cry. Now is
Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for humbling yourself, coming to this earth, and pouring yourself out for love of us. Help us to walk, Lord, in your ways. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you at St. Paul's tonight. And we're excited. We've been excited to start this round robin, Pastor Germstead and Pastor Regan and myself. And we have, you know, the district, as we call them, you know, where there's kind of the northern part of the district and the southern part, and each part sometimes cooperates in some way with a round robin. And we considered ourselves the Confederacy, the members of the Confederacy, the southern part of the district. So anyway, it's good to welcome my dad is here, Pastor Gordon Burnson, with his kid sister, Carol, my godmother, Carol Haugen. And my friend Howard Dewis came over with me, and then dad's and Carol's sister, Melvina, and her husband, Curtis. So it's good to have family here as well. And it's good to be with you. You have a really nice singing congregation. I just loved hearing all the voices behind as we sang the hymn today. When I go back home following the service today, I'm not going directly home. I go to the middle school tonight for a choraleers practice. Our Jamestown men's chorus gets together to practice singing. And we're getting ready for a country dinner theater concert. And among the songs that we're going to be singing tonight, that we'll be practicing, is that old Mac Davis hit from when I was a kid many years ago. Maybe you know it. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. You know that song, right? I think every man that I've ever known loves to sing that song. Because maybe we'd like to dream a little bit, just for an instance, until our wives nudge us in the ribs or something. But, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. We love to sing that song. But we don't get very far, because we know that really none of us can sing that song with any sincerity whatsoever. There's only one man in the world who could sing that song truthfully. And that's Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who is perfect in every way, without sin, without spot or blemish. Perfect, as we sing in that great hymn, Holy, Holy, perfect in power, in love, and purity. And Jesus, the irony is that Jesus didn't find it hard to be humble. His nature was and is love. And the nature of love, according to 1 Corinthians 13:4, is that love vaunteth not itself. It seeketh not its own way. Jesus didn't find it hard to be humble. For our sake, he humbled himself and became flesh and dwelt among us. And as Philippians said, he humbled himself even to pouring out his life on the cross. We focus in this Lenten season on Jesus in his humiliation. Our theme is Lenten Portraits of Christ. And we see various aspects of Christ's humiliation. We'll be talking in these weeks about Christ the forsaken one, Christ the doubted one, Christ the poor one, the tempted one, the hated one. And today, Christ the humbled one. We'll be reflecting on what does it mean that Jesus humbled himself and dwelt among us. And how can we get our heads around that? The word humble comes from the same root, or humility, comes from the same root as the word humus. Good soil is called humus, from which we also get the word human. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 19, the Lord said to Adam, as part of the curse, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground out of which you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's a reminder of our mortality and that we were made from the dirt. God breathed into us the breath of life, but when that breath departs, the Lord reminds Adam and all of us, we return to the ground from which we were made. And so it's astounding that Jesus would choose to leave the glory of heaven and take on this humanity, live among us and die on a cross that we might have life in his name. Our passage from Ephesians, which you read responsively today, explains how it is that the great God of heaven, the same God who is the architect of creation, who is responsible for the making of billions of stars in this world and all the beauty that's on it, how did he become flesh? How did he empty himself? Well, it says can never read these little numbers on my glasses. It says verse 7. It says that Jesus emptied himself. He emptied himself. The word empty there means like to take a bottle and pour out the pickle juice or pour out the contents of that bottle to the very last drop. You empty it of what it once contained. And when we think about Jesus, what did he empty himself of in order to humble himself and come and live among us without destroying us with his glory? He emptied himself of all his divine attributes that he'd had with God from the foundation of the world, from the beginning, from before the beginning of time. He poured out his omniscience. Omniscience is the idea that we're all-knowing. Jesus, he emptied himself of that and lived among us as a man. Yes, he had a profound sense of knowing. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is gifts of knowledge. Jesus seemed to know things about people that weren't evident. But he wasn't living among us as the omniscient God. He poured out his omnipotence, his all-powerfulness. God spoke the word and universes came into existence. But Jesus, we read, got tired. He slept in the stern of the boat. He sat down by the well of Sychar. He was at times exhausted, and when even in his miracles, sometimes he felt power draining from him, and he wasn't omnipotent. He wasn't omnipresent. God is everywhere at once. God is with us no matter where we are. But when Jesus came to this earth, he could only be in one place at a time. And he came and lived among us. When Jesus came to this world, he didn't descend an escalator into a grand ballroom as our president did when he announced his campaign. He came down the back stairway, the servant's stairway, into a humble little town called Bethlehem and was born in a humble stable. And once he came to this earth, he continued to pour himself out. In the years of his ministry, we read about Jesus pouring himself out in love over one person after another until finally on the cross he poured himself out to the very last drop. As it says in Philippians, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I think sometimes as Christians we love those images of Jesus in his glory, and we have those images. A couple of weeks ago, you gathered in church, and we stood with Jesus on that mountain of the Transfiguration. Remember that? We through the eyes of Peter, James, and John, we saw Jesus in all his glory, his face shining like the sun, his clothing irradiant white. They were overwhelmed. We love that image. In a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the resurrection glory of Jesus as he bursts forth from that tomb. And as Christians, we live even today looking forward to that day when we will see him return in glory. Jesus said he will come with the clouds of heaven and in the glory of the Father with the heavenly angels. We love those images of glory, but what's more helpful for us in this life is to keep our eyes on Jesus in his humiliation. And to see how he walked amongst men and women. And to see the way he lived. That he vaunted not himself, But he came to serve. Put a towel over his arm and wrapped it around his waist, rather, and took a basin in his hands, and he went around the table and washed his disciples' feet. This after they'd been arguing with one another about who among them was the greatest. When we consider Jesus' humility, it's absolutely breathtaking. Jesus went as low as he could go. He won the limbo. How many of you ever played the limbo? You have to get under that. Isn't that called the limbo? Where you go under the stick, the limbo stick? Yeah. Thank you for nodding. Jesus won that competition. His love for us today brought him to the lowest place on earth and even lower to the depths of hell for our sake and for our salvation. So I was trying to think, how can we get our minds around that? How can we contemplate that the King of Heaven, the one, the Creator of heaven and earth, should come and dwell among us in this way? I was reminded of a story that I heard a number of years ago. It was a story that humbled me. And the story goes back a few years. Many years ago, there was a well-known televangelist who had a very famous fall from grace. His name was Jim Baker. Raise your hand if you remember him. Jim and Tammy Faye. Tammy Faye wore lots of makeup. They were kind of in their prime back in the mid-80s. I was a seminary intern at the time. And they were a couple that perhaps more than any other Christian ministers, I found myself despising. I hated everything about the Bakers. I hated their approach. I didn't like their theology. I didn't like the fact that they were spending millions of dollars to build some kind of Christian Disneyland. And mostly it irritated me when I'd go visit a widow in the congregation and she was sending money to the PTL ministry, to Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. It just made my teeth grind. I despised them. And then a few years later, they got their comeuppance. They got caught in some kind of financial malfeasance, and Jim Baker got convicted of a crime and was sent, I believe, to a federal prison. And I was satisfied. Happy, maybe. And I didn't give the Bakers another thought until about 15 years later. I was at a conference, and I heard what some might call the rest of the story. And it thoroughly humbled me. Here's the rest of the story. It was told to us at a conference by a Christian minister by the name of Rick Joyner. He told a story about Jim Baker serving his prison time. In the prison, each prisoner is assigned duties, jobs to do. His job was to clean the latrines. And so there he was one day with a brush in his hand, scrubbing the toilets. Prison guard walked in. He said, "Come with me." He said, "Well, you know, you got filthy." He said, Can I wash up? Can I change clothes?" "No. You got a visitor waiting for you." And so they walked down the hall, Jim Baker and then the prison guard, and they came into a little room where there was a tall, distinguished-looking elderly gentleman waiting for him. This man had love in his eyes, and he took his big arms and he wrapped them around Jim Baker, and he just held him. He spent the rest of that day ministering to the prisoner. The visitor's name was Billy Graham. Fresh from a world evangelism tour, at the very pinnacle of his powers and of his fame. And he comes to spend a whole day ministering to a fallen brother, embraces this man, his prisoner, in all his slime and shame. When I heard that story, I wept. And I'm not a crier. I'm kind of like my mom. I don't weep much, but it just made me weep. And I wept not only for the beauty that I saw in Billy Graham and the mercy and the love that he showed, but I also wept for my own haughtiness, for my own arrogance as a young seminarian, that I was casting judgment on this brother. Yes, he might have fallen. Yes, he might have been of a different theological persuasion than me. But who am I to judge my brother? It truly humbled me. And when I think of Billy Graham, you know, stooping to spend time and minister to a fallen brother, I think how much more did Jesus stoop to reach down to me? How much more did Jesus humble himself to come to you, to save us, to redeem us by his blood, to die on that cross naked and exposed before the world in utter shame according to the standards of the world, but he did it for love of us. It's breathtaking. My missionary heroes these days are a couple named Heidi and Roland Baker, no relation to Jim and Tammy Faye. About 20 years ago, they went to serve God, sensing a call. They went to the poorest country on earth at that time, Mozambique in eastern Africa. They went with $35 in their pocket, believing that God had called them to serve there. Today, they care for about 10,000 orphans through a network of orphanages and care centers. And they've started 10,000 churches around the world. Some of them on the garbage dumps where the children eke out a living on the edges of the cities. And they've experienced an incredible ministry. People from all over the world go to serve with them and just be with them. They experience such power of God, supernatural provision day by day as they care for these kids, as they witness the love of Christ. But the reason I bring them up today is that in an interview, I heard Heidi and Roland say, we just want to be close to Jesus. We just want to get low and then go lower still. And somehow that is rung in my mind. And as I thought of Christ, the humbled one, as he calls us not to be served, but to serve, he's telling us to go to the ends of the earth, to the lowest places, not to be haughty like that seminarian I was telling you about who's casting judgment on another, but for love of God, responding to the great love of Christ, to humble ourselves. As St. Peter put it, humble yourselves, therefore, or I'm going to go back a little bit, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. May we keep our eyes on Jesus, on Christ, the humbled one. Amen.
Thank you again, Pastor Burnson, for sharing with us this evening. Let's close this evening. We'll sing The Old Rugged Cross, hymn number 78. As we close this evening, would you please pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.